Hello and welcome to Marooned at Magpie's headquarters, day 80. How did it get to be this far, Mike? I swear it was 70 not 5 minutes ago, but that's probably just me. How is everybody? Oh, let me get the chat up. Can't see the chat. Right. I'm nearly there. I'm looking at my downloads, but I'm almost there. Yeah, I'm in the chat. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Hello, Paul. It's freezing. Oh, I'm so happy. You would not believe it is the same country today as yesterday.
There you go.
It's that good. Oh, Pete, what's he editing?
A textbook chapter on tactical trauma management.
You can't manage trauma. Come and join us. There you go.
If anyone wonders what we're talking about, Pete can't make it tonight. He's in editing hell, he said on Slack. So I asked him what he's editing, and he's put a photo in Slack with basically a table covered with sheets of paper.
Poor Pete.
A textbook. What do you say? A textbook on
trauma.
Mm.
But I'd be traumatic watching it. Jonathan's got his ice cream to celebrate the end of summer.
Johnny says that looks interesting.
Yeah, hopefully it is the end of summer, Jonathan. It was just far too hot. It was oppressive and muggy and now... Oh, it's fabulous. Window's still open. I've had to turn the fan off because it's a little bit on the chilly side. So you can imagine the weather is fabulous. Loving it. How are you, Jonathan? You're nearer the clouds than we are. You ordered it on Monday when it was warm.
Johnny, I can eat ice cream any time of the year, so if you don't want it, ship it to Matt's headquarters.
Send it our way. Oh, come on, Jonathan. You could not possibly have enjoyed that weather earlier this week. It was hideous. I don't mind warm if there's a breeze, but it wasn't. And poor Lola. She drank a bowl of water in the night, didn't she?
She did.
We actually put a bowl of water in the bedroom for her, which she would not normally be interested in, and she drank nearly all of it, bless her.
Horlicks.
And I managed to get in and out without falling over it, so double result, really. So you're back to the Horlicks, are you?
I had hot chocolate today.
I had too.
And finished off my marshmallows.
What, you finished them off?
Yeah.
Oh, how handy. I've got a Prime Now order looking for a couple of pounds worth. Do you want any more?
I don't know. Why not?
And the Horlicks came with the order. What would it be like, I wonder, if you mixed some Horlicks with vanilla ice cream? Horlicks ice cream.
Mmm.
Mmm. Mike doesn't sound overly enamoured with that. I'm thinking that could be quite nice.
Kim, do you have marshmallows in it?
Ooh.
Is that a thing in the States? Marshmallows and whipped cream. I guess it must be, because they do that in Cafe Nero.
They do.
And Nero's a global chain.
Yeah. I'm laughing at Jonathan's grandma. Ordered sun cream. She wasn't impressed with the weather shift. I think the two of you have brought this weather upon us, for which I thank the pair of you. It's fabulous. We've got oppressive overhead clouds. Wind, it's just amazing. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Sounds like a malted milkshake. Do you know you can't buy malted milkshakes here? Never
can't
seen
you?
One. No. Banana, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, even some more exotic, but I've never seen a malted milkshake. Mmm. This could be a thing to try. Magic Mike in the kitchen again. Quite liking that. Yes, that's what we'll do. We'll try it. But according to my iPhone, which was unceremoniously woken up by somebody saying, seriously, which gets Siri every time. Are we at 100% yet on here? Indeed we are. Right, let's have a look what it's saying about the weather for the rest of the week. As I heard it, it was freezing. We're down to 12 degrees. Fabulous. Says the low for today is going to be 15, and it's actually 12. And then we've got 15 tomorrow, 14 on Friday, 12 on Saturday. You know what this does mean, don't you, Mike?
No.
Because also every day, possibly not tomorrow. Tomorrow and Monday just say cloud. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, raining as well.
Yeah.
God, I love this weather.
I've just sent Kim a link.
What's not looking so hopeful is a week on Friday when they're promising 23 and rain at the same time. Chance of rain at the moment, 10%. But you know what? I'll take that. Loving it. You've heard me moaning about the weather for so long, but now the weather is fabulous. Oh, it actually says 11 degrees in another one. Liking that even more. But they're hedging their bets for tomorrow. We have dark cloud, rain and sunshine. Yeah, that's the BBC for you. Not even joking, that's what it says. They've got a long-term weather forecast and are predicting 21 a week on Friday. Here's hoping that doesn't happen. Anyway, it's just as good for people who suffer with pollen disorders, isn't it? Because you don't want hay fever, so now you've not got it because it's raining. Loving this. Good afternoon, Tracy. Or good early evening, because you're an hour ahead, aren't you? 21 to near freezing. Oh, can do without the thunderstorm and lashing rain, but... oh, what have you done there? You've put a link in I've not seen, Mike. Love cream. You can't have too much of it. Oh, poor Jonathan. Right, let's have a look. I'm like that with gluten-free
stuff.
We've
got a video.
Of what?
Of Pam and Jed dancing.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll dig that out as well. We'll put all of those together. Oh, yes, that's just what Mike would like. I'll put those marshmallows in for you, Mike. Unless you want to do without it. Just saying. Not hearing him say no there, are you?
No. Let's have it.
Let's have it.
Let's have it.
Look, there's a recipe at the bottom, Mike. You're kidding me. Whoa.
What?
Homemade chocolate with marshmallow and cream, heaven in a cup, blah, blah, blah. Then it says one serving, 690 calories. So, like, you could have that and maybe a round of bread in a day and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, come off it. You could have at least 9 of those. they're putting grated chocolate on the top as well. Mm. Do you want me to get you a couple of bars of that? Do it properly.
Yeah, why not?
Right, there you go, Kim. But you see, if we do this, it's got to be videoed. You up for that? Not you drinking it. Sensitive about the hair, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do a video of you making it, Mike. Oh, and it also says, why not add some rum or Baileys?
Don't like rum or Baileys.
What about a Scal? Could you put a Scal in it? Maybe no, without the lemonade?
Then it'd be cold.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe without the alcohol then. But I'm loving the look of that. There's only one issue with that, Mike, as I look at the picture.
Yeah.
That cup's nowhere near big enough for you. You definitely need a bigger mug. He has got an XL mug. In fact, he's got more than one XL mug. Do the video and Mike can wear a hat. Mike's got his wig. He can definitely wear his wig. Right, well, we'll do that. I shall leave that open and whip the link for that later. Absolutely loving the look of that. Fabulous choice. I will put that in the basket, Mike, and I will get it here for weekend. So we'll do the old prime now thing. They're actually...
could do with some butter if you got a basket open.
I have got a basket open. I've put the water in it that you told me we don't need.
Right.
Shall I get the water or not?
No.
You've got to get water with every order because you can only have three. I will sort that out. Mike needs a cooking wick.
And we need sweet and sour sauce.
Do we?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if they do sweet and sour sauce. Let's have a look.
I'll get some from Tesco then.
Tesco's just annoying me. Sweet and sour sauce. Is it Uncle Ben's or their own?
Doesn't matter.
Uncle Ben's is £1.90, just for reference, people. But their own is 85 pence.
We'll have their own in that case.
In that case, we'll have their own.
We'll be cheapskates.
Nothing wrong with Morrison stuff. It's like Aldi. As long as you buy the right stuff, why would you pay twice as much for less?
I agree.
Did you want strawberries and things as well?
I'll sort that out at the weekend.
We'll sort it later.
Because I've got a Tesco order.
Well, that went so well last week, they didn't have any strawberries. That's how come I ended up placing a Morrison's order. Just saying. He needs a cooking wig and a big chef's hat, I think.
Like the Swedish chef.
Yeah, we could get you
a... Gruddy, 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 gruddy.
get your Swedish chef's outfit for cooking in. That'll be great.
Does anyone remember the Swedish chef?
That's from The Muppets. It is from The Muppets. I remember that.
There you go.
Right, let me get that.
I'll put a link in for anyone who doesn't.
Jonathan might be a bit young. I'm sure it was the 70s. Jonathan doesn't remember much from the 70s. Anyway, where were we up to with setup? We were doing a complete analysis, weren't we? Mike, in that case, you're going to need a tash while you're at it. Looking at the Swedish chef.
I'll just shave the tash off.
We were looking at setup, and I think we just reached the point of why are the three mind mapping apps, and which one do we use? I think I've used them all, although Xmind, I think, was ages ago. Mike wasn't into mind mapping, were you, dear?
No.
Until?
Until I used it the other week.
Until I told him to use it the other week. I don't think I have used Xmind, not in living memory anyway. Thought I had, but looking at the application, whoa. No, I don't recall that at all. It must have been ages ago, if I ever used it. How much is this app if it's not in there? Let's have a look. Yeah, that's not happening. $39.99. Now, before you say that's not bad, for a 6-month subscription. Really? Whoa. Or $59.99 a year for a year's subscription. That's over half your setup sub, isn't it? I wonder if anybody does actually buy these. Oh, hang on. That's just Xmind and mobile. If you want the pro one, $129. What's in setup? I presume it's not the pro one. But there is a mobile version with that, hence the subscription. They've got to be joking. They have got... Right, so that's me not using that one then. So what's everybody else using for mind mapping? Or are you not mind mapping? Mike wasn't mind mapping, were you?
No.
And you hit a brick wall, as I recall it.
Did I?
Mm. You had a version on your desktop, because your desktop's High Sierra.
Yeah.
And was it that it wouldn't update because it needed Mojave? And then there was a mobile issue. It actually got very, very complicated. So as long as you're on the latest version of the OS, you're pretty much okay. But if you're not, doesn't it get complicated fast? So he could have made one on his iPhone and then not been able to open it on the desktop. Potentially not vice versa, but because they're synchronising, if you opened it up on the iPhone, then you may not be able to edit it on the desktop. So really, these people who hang on to old versions of software, and I'm talking like Office 2003, I still have people that much prefer that one, you know, it gives you major grief down the line. So Paul's saying my node from setup, which gives you the problem, Paul, of it not synchronising with iOS because you need a separate subscription, which is absolutely ludicrous. I can't believe they've not been told about that. Somebody must surely have told them. But they should go the way the other one has gone, which is Ulysses, which is... If Ulysses can do it, there's absolutely no excuse for my node not to. But for Tracy, it's iThoughts. I definitely already have iThoughts, I do believe. I'm just going to check if I've ever had Xmind, because I'm pretty sure I did. There you go, I did. It was via Mac Update promo, so it must have come in a bundle. And the version I've got a key for is version 2.1. What version are we on now? Xmind 2020. I have no idea if I'd qualify for an upgrade from that. Does it have any upgrades? Xmind 2020 requires a subscription plan per user before purchasing. Use the trial version. So no, I can't upgrade the old version that I had from 2010. Oh well, never mind. And did I have iThoughts? I did. And it looks like here I had iThoughts. That's unusual. 2014 by the look of it. Whoa, look at that serial number. For a princely price originally of £12. But that does say Windows. So I'm wondering if one was for Windows and one was for Mac. Either way, don't particularly use that one anymore. I switched to my Node. Not that there's anything particularly between the two of them. I remember having this discussion. But I just like the feel of it. It's one of those apps that's incredibly pretty. It's like looking at OmniFocus versus Things. OmniFocus, very powerful. Things, very pretty. And sometimes pretty matters. Pretty doesn't matter to you, actually, does it, Mike?
No, it doesn't.
With your software, you just totally ignore the aesthetic.
I mean, you've gone on about, doesn't that icon look gorgeous? And I'm like, okay, that icon looks gorgeous, but look at this bug, this bug, this bug, and this bug.
Oh, well, obviously, bugs trump icons, but, you know, in an ideal world. Hello, Simon. Kiva's got a boyfriend, Coda. Coda's a good name for a dog. I'm liking that.
Yeah, like Alex's dog.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. It's hashtag's birthday. Not birthday. She put a picture up when she was really young. Oh, it was so cute. I can't see the picture. Oh, no. I don't think that's a share link, Kim. That's your link for you to see it, I think, but I'm not seeing it. All that's happening is I'm seeing my Dropbox.
Stick it in Slack in random. That's where everything else goes.
It's a bit
goes.
Like when Ollie arrived and decided that he fancied Lola a lot.
I'm not surprised.
Got a bit giddy. Lola was less than impressed, bless her. So Jonathan would probably use my Node. It will sync but doesn't have all the features. Oh, that's right, isn't it? The iOS version. You're paying for advanced features, but it didn't say what they were. That's right. Little more than a reader. I think you can make basic edits, but not much. On my phone, I thought that would be okay. On iPadOS, a little bit more annoying. But I seem to have been grandfathered onto something, because I certainly don't pay a subscription. But everything just works. But then I am in their beta program. And I've had it ages. I can't fathom what... Let me have a look at the website. There is definitely something if you've had it a while. But I don't know whether there's anything missing or not. It was very difficult to understand what they were actually saying. Which is, I experience that a lot with these apps when they switch pricing models. It's as if they're not quite sure what to do either. So let's have a look. Pricing. So both of them, right, there's a 14-day trial for both Mac and iOS. And the free editor gives you create and edit notes, view as an outline, fold and reorganise, export, import and export. But you can't add notes, cross connections, tasks, quick entries, which I'm not sure I'd be doing on iOS only. Anyway, but there's quite a bit missing, but I'm not sure if it's the stuff I would be using. It also says it's on setup. But again, it doesn't mention the iOS version. And then there's a volume license, and that's all it says. So I'm still at a loss as to why I'm not paying a subscription and have access to everything. Maybe it's in their support section. I wish I could work it out. I know I bought the app. So I actually paid the full price for the app at some point. And there was something about that. My Node is stuck in viewer mode or free editor mode, but I purchased the full app. Now what? So you can restore the purchase, but I don't do that. I will find out. Oh, hang on. What's that? No, they're legacy versions. I clearly need to research that more. I will find out. I need to be in Slack. Heading off to Slack. Is it love?
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Kiva's boyfriend.
Oh, come on, Slack. Hurry up. Hurry up. I need to be in random.
I saw a Kiva dog yesterday.
Oh, look at that.
Mark Caffrey's got one. It's called Poppy. Look at that.
Oh, that is gorgeous. Oh, look at him. And is she still keen? Is she still keen? Look at that face. They do look so similar, don't they? Oh, what lovely eyes. That is so cute. Oh, can you imagine if Lola saw Ollie? She'd not seen Ollie now for 9 months.
True.
Mind you, Ollie hadn't seen her for about a year. And he walked through the door and there she was, and that was it, smitten again. We've got Ollie to thank for having Lola.
We have.
Yeah. Did he ever hear the full story of that?
I don't think so.
We were in the, we're in the park, weren't we, with Ollie?
Yeah.
And, he's a little minx. He's a little minx. And he slipped his lead. Well, you were talking to Lola's mum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Mike couldn't catch Ollie. So she said, here, hold the lead. And she haired off after him. Which meant Mike stood there with a Samoyed on a lead. And that was how you got talking. No,
that's heaven.
Yeah, that was heaven. Like, take your time catching that dog. The thing with Ollie was he had no road sense, did he? None whatsoever. No. You couldn't possibly have let him off the lead. No guarantee he would come back at all. He only had one trick. Don't go up the stairs. Other than that, he did not behave at all. I tried clicker training him while he was here for the first week, and I was getting somewhere. But obviously only having him for a week at a time. But he was a lot better by the time he left. He was sitting and doing paws for treats and all sorts.
He was.
And on the Sunday, he'd been here. He'd only been here 3 days, hadn't he? And you left church bang on to go and get him. So we normally used to go in for tea and coffee. So I'm in there waiting for him to arrive. And Nina and Mike and Rachel, Ollie belongs to their son stroke brother. And they were like, you're not bringing him in here. Oh, my God. And they were concerned he would just destroy the place because for them, he is completely uncontrollable. Well, he wandered in on the lead, wandered over, sat down. I said, sit, paw, good dog. And they were like, whoa, is this the same dog? Or have you had him stuffed? So he was very well behaved. So he did get treats.
So, Kim, you then asked them to pose for your friends on Slack.
Oh, poor Kiva. Oh, the poor things, isn't it? When you think about dogs, they just don't understand. Lola's a bit clingy at the minute, isn't she? She's taken to coming in the office and flopping with us, which is lovely. But you're looking at her thinking, does she not want to be downstairs now? Because we just say you be wherever you want to be. But she's taken to coming up and she's had her tail wrapped around your chair. She's had her nose up against mine. We've actually got a great picture of that, haven't we? Did manage to capture a picture of it. With that E45 cream still behind her, you noticed. But one we didn't ask for that they sent. So I'll have to sort that one out for Friday. Oh. So Coda was just as interested in seeing Kiva as Kiva was in seeing Coda. Hello, Anthony. That is fabulous.
Lola wanted to see this chocolate Labrador this morning. And I had to say no. Apart from social distancing, I said, Lola, that dog does not like Samoyeds. It didn't like Maya, and it doesn't like you. It obviously has something against Samoyeds.
But do you know,
it must have been rejected by a Samoyed when it was younger.
Some dogs do, just like Maya. Maya was fine with dogs. If they were bigger than he was a bit peeved. But this big black chow came up to, walk past him when we were out one day. And I think it was the red cravat that Mayer objected to. And he just went mental and this dog kind of looked down his nose at him. But some dogs don't like white dogs and some dogs don't like black dogs. Mm. And most dogs don't like other dogs if their ears are up. And obviously Samoyed's ears are up all the time. So apparently it's a sign of aggression. But in a Samoyed, it's just, hello, I'm pleased to meet you. Because Samoyeds love everybody. That is so adorable. Thank you for sharing that. So adorable. Love that. No, I can't find out much about this mind node thing.
And that dog called Cameron.
Oh, Cameron.
It was a golden retriever that I used to sit in the park and the woman couldn't handle it. And she told me that she'd been told by this dog psychologist... that it didn't like dogs.
Was the psychologist a dog, or was it a psychologist psychoanalyzed dogs?
Basically, it didn't like, Cameron didn't like male dogs that still had the testicles.
Oh, for crying out loud. And he knew this precisely how?
I presume they could
sniff.
Did he
ask for a dog?
Because I certainly couldn't see under all that fur of Mayer's.
You couldn't tell whether it was a girl or a boy.
Yes, dog psychologist, Jonathan.
Oh, dog psychologist. Jonathan, you have no idea.
Oh, Deb's in.
Hello, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
CQ, CQ. The second vet I ever saw, Jonathan, had the misfortune to venture into the surgery. Mayer had cut his foot, and when a dog cuts their foot, it's very difficult to stop it bleeding. So it was close of business for the day, and I rang straight up and said, dog's cut his foot on some glass, might need stitches. So they said, get him down here, put it in a bag, which will kind of, and like wrap something around it, stop the bleeding, and get him down here. So I did. So we wanders in with him, we unwraps the blanket, the bandage rather, takes off the bag, and there's his foot. Obviously white dog, red foot. She takes one look at it and says, there's nothing wrong with him, it's all in his mind. I said, pardon? And she said, what was it? You're mothering him too much, to the point of smothering. Here's my card. When you're ready to like own a dog, not a baby, come and see me. And I'm like, what just happened? And I looked at this card and it said, you know, whatever her name was, dog psychologist. So I came out and I said to Mike, you're not going back there again. He had a cut foot. How is that me smothering him and it all being in his mind? If anybody could explain that to me, fabulous.
Are you looking to become one, Kim? Looking for a career change?
I think you have to be a complete idiot, Kim. There are some ones, I wouldn't call them dog psychologists, though. I would say behaviourists. You know, like, what's his name? The dog whisperer bloke. And Victoria Stillwell. It's me or the dog. She had a series in the UK and then I think she moved to America. But, you know, it's not rocket science to look at a dog and see what's wrong with them. But I wouldn't say you're a psychologist. How does a cut foot in his mind? Exactly my thoughts, Anthony. I did ask, but she was a bit of an idiot. She was somebody, I use this phrase quite a bit, a man with a hammer. Therefore, everything she looked at was a nail. So in her mind, her specialisation was psychoanalysing dogs. Therefore, everything was in the animal's mind. We took him back home and guess what I did? I did the Googles. She didn't put stitches in it or anything. So we left with him still bleeding. This was why we didn't go back. That was the last time we went there. In fact, I think it was only the third time we'd been. But we didn't go back there again. But I had to do the Googles. And the answer was to keep flour in and put flour on it. And that would help it stop bleeding. So that was what we did. It was also towards Christmas time when it happened. And he hated us for this. What we'd done was we had bought lots of treats for him for Christmas. And they were in like a little stocking, like a dog stocking. And there was only about three treats in each one. And they were incredibly cheap. So I said, oh, let's get lots of them. So we had this huge bag full of all these treats for him. And we needed to get him out in the garden. Every time he wanted to go out, we had to wrap his foot up. It was taking forever and costing a fortune in bandages. So I said, I know what we'll do. We'll take all the treats out of these little plastic stockings and we'll put his foot in that and then just tie it on when he went outside. What was he like? He hated that. But you know, it worked because it was plastic. His foot didn't get dirty. So it's always handy to keep a few of those in. That was what we did. But I agree with you, con artist. Seriously. You could. You don't think you'd be very good. You can't get Kiva to stop counter surfing. I always thought with Mayer, it was just like that was how he was and just learn to love them as they are. I would not make a fortune as a psychoanalyst of any description. I guess you could, you know, like you were trying with things that made a noise and stuff. It never worked for Mayer. Honestly, nothing ever worked for Mayer. How he was how he was, and that was it. I told you about the stones. You were supposed to put stones in a tin. And every time the dog barked, you frightened them, inverted commas, with this shaker thing. And, oh, did I give it a good go. But as I'm shaking it over the course of like a week, I'm thinking, I'm sure this isn't making as much noise as it did. But I'm going at it second to none. And he was just like, he just stood there really taking you on. And the louder I shook the stones, the louder he barked. So I gave up in the end. But when I opened the tin, it was just sand. I had shaken it that much, the tin was battered to heck, and the stones inside had just disintegrated into sand. And he still barked whenever he wanted, so we just left him to it in the end. Why bother? Why bother? I will say, though, he was very good with tech, wasn't he? That he didn't bite cables or anything. This might work for you, Kim. The one thing he did do, and obviously, us sharing a house with my mum and dad, particularly mum. Dad wouldn't have cared. Mum cared a heck of a lot. He started nibbling the carpet around the bottom of the stairs. So he was kind of nuzzled up there as though he was asleep, but he was chewing on the carpet. He was literally weeks old at the time and he was chewing on the carpet. Well, she went mad, but that didn't do any good. So I had to find a way to get him to stop chewing the carpet. This bit by the stair was probably the only bit he could actually chew properly because the rest would be like attached to the floor. So I did the Googles again and came up with the answer. The answer was a pot of Vicks Vapor Rub. So it's the kind of stuff, I'm presuming you have it in the States, the really stinky stuff that you put on your chest or your back when you've got an infection. So I thought, fair enough, that stinks badly enough. And we happen to have some in the kitchen in the bathroom cabinet. So I goes in the bathroom cabinet, gets the Vicks Vapor up, toddles down the stairs to where he'd been gnawing on it. He was out for his walk. I put a bit on my finger and I didn't put it on the carpet because that would have been there forever. But I did put a tiny bit of it. So literally just dipped my finger in and rubbed it down the paintwork right next to where he'd been nibbling. And I thought, let's see how that goes. So didn't say anything to him, didn't push him away from it or anything. We just carried on as normal. So he meanders in and he has his dinner and he has some water and he flops. And then he mooches and then he heads over to the carpet for dessert. And he got to within about 2 foot and stopped dead. Never went near it again, ever. So after about 3 weeks, I just washed it off and he still never went near it again. So whatever you don't want to near, try putting some Vic on it.
Vicks Vapor is actually American.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We do have alternatives here now from the like of Aldi do it, don't they? Boots do it. But there's nothing that smells quite the same, even to a human, as the Vic one. It's as though there is something in that that's a bit pungent. Thing was with him, it didn't dissuade him from coming near us when we were ill and we had it on.
True.
But he never went near that carpet again. Mother was rather impressed with me at that point. She was like, how have you got him to stop touching that carpet? I thought, now's probably not the time to tell her I put Vic on it. But I came clean. She was like, that's genius. I said, that's working. So any time he was near anything, he just waffed the Vic at it. It's worth a try. It's worth a try. Oh, dear me. Let's have a look here. You tried it with Kiva. She got excited and wanted to play with it.
That'll be the shaker.
Counter surf once and a dozen hard-boiled eggs. Oh, my God. Dogs really do have no sense, do they, when it comes to eating. However, you know, Lola's quite... A male was as bad. Very, very picky with what he'd eat, wasn't he? That woman that wanted to give him a bacon sandwich, he looked at her as though, sorry, who are you? Wouldn't touch it. Would not touch it. Which was just as well. We had a neighbour, didn't like dogs. Seriously, didn't like dogs. And... he reported us to the council for having a dog.
Oh, the idiot next door.
The idiot. Yes, the idiot. That was the first thing he did. But many years after that, this was why in the end, you know, the dog's making too much noise. The dog's a dog and you've got kids. And when they went on holiday, you should have heard the party the kids had. Did we report them to the council? No, because that's not what you do. You act like a human being, not this fella. Many years later... do you remember going outside and there was that meat in the garden?
Mm.
And I said to Mike, just pick it up. Maya had a sniff at it. And we're talking like maybe half a steak. I mean, where had that come from? In our back garden. You cannot get in our back garden. If you think the house is secure, garden's even more secure. You couldn't get in. And I said to Mike, just pick it up in a bag. You're like, what? Why are we picking it up in a bag? I said, I reckon it's been thrown over the fence and it could only have come from one place, given where it was. I said, I reckon that's to shut the dog up. And he said, what? Like, how? What do you mean? I said, like poison. Got it checked. Poison. Seriously? Trying to kill our dog. Yeah, he moved in the end, didn't he? Do you know why he moved, don't you? That conservatory we had, and I think he thought we were going to keep it forever and ever, amen. We had this conservatory and it was definitely due a renewal. But you know, when you're doing daft tricks like trying to poison our dog, we're not minded to do the house up for you in any way, shape or form. Yes, two pieces of it there was within a week. Obviously, it didn't work. Mayor wouldn't touch it anyway. He sniffed it and left it. But it was a steak. It wasn't the kind of thing you would find in somebody's garden. They don't grow on trees, as far as I'm aware. And that happened twice. He was a complete idiot, this bloke. In the end, they put the house up for sale. And I said, thank God for that. You know, they're going. And they did. And we've got neighbours now who have their own dog. So we're all quite happy now. They meet. And we've got this fence at the back. And it's got a time. It's like, what they call it? Something lap. Wainy lap fence. But basically two pieces of wood over it. But it's shrunk. So there's this like long sliver of a gap. And they meet and sniff each other through the fence.
They haven't done since lockdown, actually.
But they haven't since lockdown because we've cordoned off the back garden.
Socially distancing dogs.
Yes, we are socially distancing the dogs. Thing is, the fence needs replacing. And in the wind, etc., if we let them in and anything happens to the fence, they'll be through it. So, no, they're not meeting at the moment, but they did just sniff each other through it. They adore each other. So we were very lucky to get those neighbours and lose the old ones. Absolute idiot. But what can you do? Was this back in the days when you could use a hypodermic to lace the milk bottles with X-Lax? We should have thought of that. I just said, like, you know, be careful. Just be really careful. Absolute idiot. We once had 100 bricks for a barbecue and the guy from the council came round then said we'd have reports of extensive building work going on. You were building a barbie. This guy was just a horrible, horrible guy. But the funniest thing was we went to the church barbie be about 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And Mike got talking to this bloke and he was asking where we lived because we didn't all live in one parish. It was one barbecue at the main church, but people were coming from three different parishes. So he started asking where we lived. Now, our road is incredibly tiny. You know, there's only eight houses on it. So saying the name of the road wouldn't particularly help. But Mike started off, and I think you did say the name of the road, didn't you? I don't know if you gave him the number or whether you said we were on the corner. Turned out he was related to the guys that live next door. Not the ones we've got now, the idiots. So I marches across and says, hi. And Mike's like shaking his head slightly, you know, like you do. Like, no, don't get drawn into conversation here. So when he disappeared, he went, he's related to the idiot with the steak. I said, oh, my God. So no, we didn't talk to him that much.
Simon, that reminds me of when I used to live in a first floor flat. With obviously no garden, no balcony or anything. And I used to get cold calls from companies trying to sell me conservatories.
Patios. You should. And then he says, like, we can fit them anywhere. We can install them anywhere. You should have had them round. So Kim says, who are these council people? Are they elected? They are. We have national elections, which is how come we've got Boris as PM. No, I don't know how that happened either. And we have local elections. And the local elections are usually to a borough of probably about 250,000 people. And that's the local council. The local council are responsible for things like local roads, local schools, so all local services. The bin collection, that's local. But they are a little bit tin pot officialdom, I'm afraid. It goes to their head. And the planning permission, that would be at a local level as well. But you don't actually now, back in the day, you did need quite extensive planning permission for an extension. But you don't anymore. Thankfully, the other people, the other side, had already built theirs. So they're probably getting more complaints because they're getting less applications for planning permission because it's not needed. Now, if a planning application goes in, what happens is they have to send out a letter to all the local people affected and they get to have their say. But obviously, when we put the extension on the back, it fell within the 3 metre rule. The 3 metre rule being, if it's less than 3 metres, if you're extending your property by less than 3 metres and you're going no nearer the border of the property than 1 metre, you don't need planning permission. So they don't, you don't need planning permission. They, as the council, don't have to get in contact with anybody. But then, of course, as building stuff starts arriving, people think they've not been consulted. But they've not been consulted because the rules have changed. But that doesn't stop them getting involved. Luckily, we did the decent thing. We had the foresight to do this. It was about a year after Mum died, wasn't it? About 10 months after Mum died. And we'd been round at the Christmas to say, you know, I know it's going to be a shock to you, but Mum's died. But when we started the work, we went round to the affected neighbours and knocked on the door and told them we were having building work done and that how long it was about to take. And, you know, if you've got any problems with it, just let us know, blah, blah, blah. We shouldn't need to get on your property and all of the rest of it. And everyone was really, really good about it. But that was because we went round and told people. But when people don't, then other people get involved. We'd not even moved in this house 6 weeks. And this was back in 1979. We'd not been here 2 weeks when somebody complained to the council about our fence. We didn't put it up. It was there when we moved in. And Mum was, she was a fearsome lady, but she did not like to get on the wrong side of officialdom. And this guy just knocked on the door and said, I'm from the council. I mean, obviously, these days, they'd have to make an appointment. And she said, yes. And he said, you're going to have to lose this fence. And it was a 6-foot fence that ran along our side garden. And she said, what do you mean? He said, you can't have a fence 6 foot tall there. And this is true because the house opposite wanted to put a 6 foot fence in. And they ended up having to put it in more than a metre back from their wall. Well, she went mad and she got the photos that were on the estate agent's details of the house and said, but look, it was there when we moved in and we wouldn't have bought it if we couldn't have had a fence. So the laugh of it was the idiot who'd complained did us a favour, because once Mum had explained the situation to the guy from the council, he gave a retrospective planning permission for it. We're the only house in about 10 mile radius that's got a 6 foot fence where everybody wants to put one, and she's got the planning permission for it. Absolutely genius. But they were complaining because they just didn't like who'd moved in, because the people who lived here before were related to some people across the road, and they didn't like the fact that their like quiet little cul-de-sac had got a new family in it, so they thought it wise to complain. Not the best idea they've ever had. Oh dear, right, what's going on here? I'm loving this about your barbecue. Oh my. Installing toilets in a block of flats, that could be interesting. Yeah, stick it in Slack, there you go. Can't imagine all the stuff we need here in Kings County to add to your house. Well, you've told us about what's it called? You told us the name, like an association, the homeowners association, is it? And it seemed really strict, like the colours you could paint and stuff. Not like that here. Not as bad as that here. But then it's not like a gated community or anything like that. So it's pretty much you can do as you like, subject to planning permission. And just to me, good manners and talk to the neighbours. Once it was over, we went round and said, like, you know, and we'll do this and we'll do that as well. And that was fine. Somebody on baking a cake here, Mike.
Yeah.
The best way to convert a PDF back into a Word document. As Mike says, just open it in Word, but it does depend on the version. The homeowners association.
And the content.
I think I've seen that, Kim, in like a drama once, where the homeowners association was run by somebody. Night, Jonathan! Who was...
See, Johnny.
A bit overzealous, shall we say, Kim. I think it was a CSI many, many years ago. Probably CSI. And I think the homeowners association... top chap ended up shot and they had to work out why, and basically everybody had a reason to kill him. I think that was the plot. It was brilliant. Right, Simon, I'll go and have a look at that shortly. See you tomorrow, Jonathan. Oh my. Right, have we got, whether it's Windows or Mac, because it does work on both, doesn't it?
It does work on both,
if you've got the latest version of Word, you can just open it. This always depends though, which I always say to people, because that's a question we get quite a lot, isn't it? You're reading it in Slack. That's cheating.
I'm reading it in Slack.
Do you want to read it out?
I can do. Plumber came round to do some work for me once, and he was a very talkative type. This isn't a joke, it's what he told me really happened. He used to work for the council and was scheduled to replace a toilet on the 15th floor. He took the toilet up to the stairwell on the 15th floor and popped it down and ran down to get his toolbox. He swears he was only gone 3 minutes, and when he got back, someone had used it for number two on the stairwell. Love it, Simon.
There are just no words, are they? Do you know that I would have said before all this malarkey with COVID, no, surely not. But the things I've seen from people, you're like, yeah, I'm seeing this. In fact, there was one today. I don't know if you saw it, Mike, but it's like a juxtaposition of a couple of stories. And I look at them and I think, yeah, so we'll be changing our behaviour then. One is all over the front of today's papers in the UK. All the papers are bothered about is, and I quote, saving our holidays. So it says, you know, Boris, save our holidays. And I'm thinking, is this important? And what they're talking about is going abroad on holiday. And I think it was on pretty much... probably out of about seven papers, it was probably on the majority of them this morning. Save our holidays. And I'm looking at it thinking, is going abroad this year the most important thing in your life? Because if you're abroad and you know, you did have the misfortune to get COVID, what's the health service like? And do you qualify for it? Will your insurance cover it? Can't you just stay at home this year? But clearly some people, no.
Tracy, I've just taken a PDF and just go in, open up Word, do file open, choose the PDF and see what it does with it. The one I've just opened is actually a Catini newsletter. It's not perfect, but the text has come through. Most of the graphics have come through. The layout's a little bit shonky, but if it's a scanned document, it probably won't work. But if
it will. It will if it's OCR'd.
True.
There are different types of scanned documents.
True, yeah, if it's OCR'd, but if it's...
if the document started life as a Word document and was turned into a PDF and you open that in Word, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
It depends on the source of the PDF.
Give it a go anyway.
For crying out loud. Mike, just before I tell the second half of this story... how long have the Premier League players been back training?
About 2 weeks. I know a Tottenham player's got it.
Oh, if only that was the only one. I'm looking at the other 9 positive tests in the Champions League. Just saying. Ah, fabulous, fabulous. And now Madeleine McCann's story's rearing its ugly head yet again. Anyway, where was I? I'd done half a story there, hadn't I? Which half was I up to? The holidays. So people... I don't actually know whether people are obsessed with holidays, because I don't know anybody who's like, oh, I've got to get abroad this year, darling. I have not heard one person say that. Even the people that we know that would love a foreign holiday are not saying, and I'll go as soon as I possibly can go. Then I saw this other story. And it was about a little boy. I think he was somewhere about 8 or 9 years of age. There he is. How old is he? He looks... No, actually, he's a little bit younger than that. Maybe five or six, something like that. And this is what it said. Coronavirus. Our son with Down syndrome is absolutely thriving in lockdown. Ali and Matt say they've never seen their son Zachary look so well. With Down syndrome, a weak immune system, he's 4 years old, there you go, the four-year-old, usually has a constant cough and a runny nose. He's been in hospital with severe chest infections several times. They live with Matt's parents in Hampshire and the family have all been isolating together. Although they've not officially been advised to shield, they've barely left the house and garden except for walks in local fields. Lockdown's been very difficult for some families with children with special needs, but Ali and Matt say that for Zachary, the reduced exposure to other children with infections has meant his health has improved. He now has unusually good health, which has helped him grow stronger and is now moving him forwards with his speech and language development. So I looked at that story and I looked at the can't get away fast enough on the holidays and thought, really? I think I'll go into shielding. Because if people go abroad on holiday, they're going to bring that back with them or something else, some weird strain of flu. I wouldn't put it past people to go and catch Ebola, you know.
True.
People are idiots.
This is a nice one.
Oh, you've got a good story.
Yeah. Norfolk health worker reunited with daughters after 9 weeks.
Was that the lady who went to live somewhere
yeah.
else? She left them with the grandparents,
I'll
didn't
post
she?
That one, yeah.
That is just... I'll put this one in so you can watch the video as well. There you go. That's the video of Zachary. But he's doing really well. So I actually thought, you know, seriously, every December, November, December, you and I are ill. But then we're at church with other people and sharing wine and hosts. Don't think we'll be doing that for a long, long time. Although the bishops want us to get back to it. I'm not sure what will happen with the football now. At the moment, they said there was one COVID case. I don't see how you can have one COVID case in isolation. Where did it come from? People are still supposed to be isolating. But the news that I'd just seen on there was saying that there was now 9 cases, which is about what you would expect, if not more. So whether the football will actually happen or not, your guess is as good as mine. At the moment, I don't know how many they would need before they decided not a good idea. But, oh, there is a guy on here. I'm ready to face quarantine just to get away. Because the thing is, if you go abroad, then you're going to face quarantine when you come home. You need 14 days in isolation. And if you don't observe that, there's a £1,000 fine. I don't see how it's worth going on holiday. Plus the fact, you know, I'd question, if the government are paying you on furlough, should you be able to go on holiday?
No.
No, I don't think so. But let's see what happens, because do you know what? I'm not going out of the house. Still not going out of the house. I'm helping the NHS by staying at home. They're now talking about super spreaders and that people can have this thing and spread it to thousands of people and not actually know, because they would be, if they did a test, they'd be negative with it. So the soccer league is starting up again in the States. I hope you have better luck than we do. which is this one? The little lass was looking for her until she realised she was actually there. It's so sweet. But, you know, I think of people like that who have given up 9 weeks with young children. And I think of that Dominic Cummings. There are just no words. I was thinking as he was taking questions today, Boris, that those journos should just sit there and say, when are you going to sack Dominic Cummings? Full stop. That's the question. And when he won't answer it, go on to the next journo. When are you going to sack Dominic Cummings? Because if they did that, he would have to do it. Instead of which, they all start rabbiting away about other things because Boris says he's drawn a line under it. He's still a complete idiot. We were playing a couple of songs last week. One of these meme type songs about Dominic Cummings. One of them was incredibly rude, wasn't it?
It was.
It rhymed with thick, I think, the word. So I won't say any more than that, but I think it rhymed with thick. Oh, Dominic Cummings, you're so thick. Oh, Dominic Cummings. And I'll just leave that to your imagination. But somebody said there was something else. Another song. But they didn't know which one. Anyway, I found it. So I'm going to play that one this week. And some of them are so funny. So, so funny. You've drawn a line under paying tax and VAT. Simon, I'm liking that. We should all do that. And we'll have no more about it. You've said your piece and a line has been drawn. Let's say no more about it. That guy is going to go. Because the journalists who have been silenced, and to be honest, I've not seen Laura Kunzberg since. Laura Kunzberg had the temerity to ask a question of Boris, and she's not been seen since. It's beginning to sound like Stalinist Russia, isn't it? I don't know whether the BBC have pulled her off it or what, but she's not been seen since. She's certainly not been at a press conference since, because I'm waiting for it every day and she's not been there. But the journos won't leave it at that. They do not like their own being treated like that.
A golden doodle.
A golden doodle.
A golden doodle.
The names of these dogs. It's like Ollie's a jackapoo.
A jackapoo.
A jackapoo.
Kiva's a Labrador. Is Kiva a Labradoodle?
She is.
Yeah.
But she's a quarter, three quarters, isn't she, Kim? Not a 50-50. God, how do you keep up with them all? Do you remember when Lola's mum came in and she was staying for the night and she said, "We think she's pregnant," and both Mike and I at the same time went, "Didn't I not know our watch?" "Oh, no, no," she said, "it was proper. We were expecting it." It's like, "Oh, okay then."
Family planning.
I had this vision of her mating with like a Dalmatian or something. A Sammation. No, it did not happen on our watch. That would not happen. No, it was a proper Samoyed, apparently. And thus, puppies.
How do you work out that it's three quarters poodle? Is that through the line?
Well, if daddy was a poodle,
yeah,
and mummy was half a poodle.
Yeah, it's through the line.
Plus the fact,
isn't it?
Kim's an expert in genealogy, so she would just know.
This is true.
Yeah, wow.
You've probably traced a family tree, haven't you, Kim?
Three times the size. They do grow fast, though, don't they? How old's Coda? Because they do grow fast when they're pups, don't they? We were told to give Maya puppy food, and we did. He did not enjoy it. He was fine for about 3 weeks. And by the time he was 10 weeks, he wanted proper food. He was just moochy and fretful. And I said, maybe he needs more food. But we tried him on sort of standard food. He was absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But they do, they grow like crazy. Kiva's got a lovely face, hasn't she? They're so expressive. 9 months, wow. So he'd have been 90 days ago. I'm doing the math. That's 3 months, isn't it? So he'd have been 6 months. Wow, you must see such a difference. And yet Kevin still knew him. So they don't use looks, do they, dogs? They just know. I bet you can't wait until they can play together. Oh, that would be so cool. May we have puppies, do you think? Mm. We ever shown you the pictures of Lola's pups? We've got some fantastic pictures of Lola's pups. We'll have to dig some out. Gosh, those pups would be over a year now. A year and 3 months.
Yeah.
15 months old they'd be. I will dig some out. Mike, make a note. And I'll dig them out at the weekend. Or for Friday. Because I've got thousands and thousands of photos. Far too many. If I can get past last summer. Hang on. Nope, that's June. Let's see if I can find one. Got plenty of pictures of you at the Queen concert.
It was around March, wasn't it?
It was April time, I'd have guessed. Good grief, how many of these did I take? No, that's still June. Still June. That's you with Lola. There's you with Lola.
Lola.
When was that? That was May. That was my birthday when we went to the dog show. That's why I've got pictures of dogs there. There's one, a purple pup. 9th of May last year it was. This was when Lola got rushed into the vets and they had nobody to look after the pup. And the pup appeared. There's purple, the pup. Purple the Pop. Right, I'll just send this one up just as one thing. This pup stole our hearts, I'm afraid. You remember Purple?
Of course. Oh, she was adorable. Purple.
Oh, you have seen a picture of Purple. Yes, you have. You have seen a picture of Purple in Katina last year. So you have. But I don't know if we put any of her actual pups up. But this was the day Purple came to town and stole my heart. Mike came back and there was Purple. And I said, we're looking after her. We're looking after her until either Lola comes back or... hang on, where...
Didn't Lola look skinny?
Yes, I'm looking at that. Do you think we're overfeeding her? She does like her treats. No, she's fine. She's fine. Right, there you go. There you go. That's Purple. That was the last pup to go home. And you can see, she's in my office. Look at the state of the carpet. I think she upended stuff and just snuggled herself down next to a trophy that we'd got for a quiz on the left and the cables on the right. Look at the size of her, Mike. She was so cute. I think they were... She's probably about 5-6 weeks at that point. About 6 weeks. Look at the little pink pads and everything. Crazy dog. Beautiful face. Right, let me catch up. These crosses, our friend says they are... what do you call it? Not hybrid, that's not the word. It'll come to me. But they're very careful with how they actually do it. I think a lot of breeding with poodles, so they're hypoallergenic dogs. She's cute, isn't she? She's cute. There was a red one and an orange one. This is the names they have before they're given that they're forever names. Was it red or orange? It was orange, wasn't
orange,
it?
Orange, I think.
Oh, we had a thing for orange. We did, but orange had a home. And then the last one to go was Purple. And she was in two minds whether the lady would turn up for Purple. And Mike looked at me and I looked at him and I said, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Anyway, the lady came round and picked her up. So it was like, it's not meant to be. But obviously, 4 or 5 months later, because that would have been May. So 5 months later, it was meant to be. And we got Lola. So we didn't go through the puppy phase, but we did get the mummy. Simon, you are a bad boy. You are a bad boy. Ooh, cockapoo. Zippy. Zippy's a fabulous name for a dog.
Zippy and George and Bungle.
I'm thinking Zippy and hashtag. Brilliant names for dogs. Love it. All right, let me have a look. Coming in. Oh, look at that face. They do have the most expressive faces, don't they?
Who's that?
That one is Zippy.
Ah.
The cockapoo. Zippy the cockapoo.
The picture.
It's just above mine, Mike. Beautiful
face. There it is. Dropbox.
They look like teddy bears. Oh, they do. Now, do they need to be groomed and trimmed? Sammy's don't need to be trimmed. But Ollie did. So the first time he came, I couldn't see his eyes. You can see Zippy's eyes. They're lovely. Lovely, lovely dog. Joe, there's so many breeds now that I didn't even consider because they didn't exist when we got Maya, did they?
No.
We looked at Huskies, Siberian Huskies. They freaked Mum out. So that wasn't really an option. It was the blue eyes. One had a blue eyes. And she was a bit freaked out by the blue eyes. Then she saw a Samoyed. That was what swung it, thankfully. All my life, I'd wanted a Golden Lab. I think that was basically because of guide dogs, because you used to have the plastic ones, didn't you, in Tesco's, and the Andrex dog. And they were Golden Labs. So that was what I wanted. Not a black one, not a brown one, a Golden Lab. But then I found a Sammy and that was the end of that. But Mum wouldn't be persuaded with a Lab and she definitely wouldn't have been persuaded with a Husky. But I have Due South to thank for that, because Diefenbaker was so adorable in that series. She mellowed. She mellowed. He's had a lockdown trim. I'm so thankful that we don't need to do that with Lola. I think I'd be petrified. Not as petrified as I would have been with Maya.
Kim,
no, we need to grow the ear knot out, don't we?
We do. Kim, how many boyfriends has Kiva got?
It's all right. They don't know about each other, Mike. It's one at a time. It's serial monogamy. Serial monogamy, never mind.
I saw a video. I think it was on Facebook in one of these Samoyed groups. And it's a Sammy lying on the bed with its paw on an iPhone, swiping left and right. Doggy Tinder.
Oh, that's brilliant. A husky pushes her around. My word, she must be smitten. Mayer only saw... Well, he only got up close with one husky. And he'd been... How old was he then? Probably about two or three?
I thought he was older than that.
Maybe older. Maybe about five. We went up to a place called Morecambe. And it's on the coast.
Yep.
Yes, she wants you now, Mike. It's on the Fylde coast. So there's an area, you may have heard of it, called Blackpool. We were going up there, but we carried on up the coast. And then to end the day, we decided we'd go to Morecambe. Stroll along the prom, minding our own business, as it were. So we're headed up there. Mayer was as good as gold. It was on a lead, no problems at all. Keith as a player. Wait for it, Kim. And there was this. Oh dear, she's getting a talking to. She's moved the bed. So there was this husky there. I think the husky was about 18 months old. Beautiful looking dog. So obviously we stopped and said, you know, what's the dog called, etc. We didn't get that far. Mayer decided to jump her. Well, he tried. She was not up for it. And we basically just turned to stone. He'd never, ever, ever done that with any other dog. And like Mike says, he was probably about five at the time, if not more. And he'd never, ever done that. And we're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But this dog just turned round and took a swipe at him with her paw. She was not into it at all. So we've always had this thing since Morecambe the Samoyed. Morecambe the Husky, rather. We never went back there. They looked as horrified as we did. He'd never done that. Now, Ollie just goes crazy trying to do that with Lola all the time. But Mayer, never. It was the only time. Once. But we never took him back there again. So I think Mayer was more of a player at that point. But the girly dog, not having it. Not having it. So Deb says both of hers have crossed to Rainbow Bridge a couple of years ago, but they were brother and sister and 16 years old. What breed were they, Deb? That is a good age for a dog. Bichon Frise? Is it? That is a good age. Maya was 13 and a half. The average for a Sammy, I think, was about 12. But for a friend of ours, she had a dog called Bailey. And he was one of the big ones, Great Dane. He was huge, absolutely huge. And they only were supposed to live till about seven or eight, which really shocked me. I thought, like, you know, the bigger the dog, it'd last longer than that. But he actually lived until he was about 10 and a half, 11, something like that. So he did really well. She immediately went out and got another dog. And I said to Mike, is it not a bit soon? Because I think you need to grieve that they are your children. And for some people, I guess getting one straight away is the answer. For others, a little bit of time. And for others like us, years. It'll happen when it's right. But she went out and got another one straight away and a puppy. But instead of it being a boy like she'd got, it was a girl. And to be honest, she's never really settled with this dog. And that would have been my concern. Like, could any other dog, I wouldn't say replace Mayer because he was irreplaceable, trust me. But, you know, do you have the capacity to feel almost as much for the second dog? And I knew I couldn't do that straight away. I knew I couldn't. Wow, the half-sibling has a friend that lived to 19. Oh, I don't think I've ever heard of a dog at 19. We did meet a lady once and she said she'd had a Samoyed and it lived to 18. And we were like amazed at that. But 19, wow. I've got a friend who's got two cats. And I think they lived to 21 and 22. And again, that stunned me. But by this stage, they were very ill. And that's got to be very difficult to make a decision. You know, is their quality of life such to let them carry on? Because they were ill virtually sort of 3 weeks out of four. She took the decision to let them carry on. And they lived till, one was 22. I don't know if the other one made it to 23, but I mean, it's a heck of an age, isn't it? How much does Lola weigh? Approximately about 25, 26 kilos, which in real money is 25 times 2.2, about 55 pounds. Maya was 36 kilos. And they had the temerity to say he was overweight, which is about 79 pounds. But to be honest, he was a lot bigger. He was a lot bigger than Lola is. He was taller. He was at the very far end of the breed standard, which was why that vet made the decision that he was overweight. Maya didn't like that description and promptly whittled up his filing cabinet. He understood every word. Slightly bigger than Kiva. I would say by the photos. But you see, the thing is, it's hard to tell with the Sammy, because if she was wet, I think I've got a picture of Maya in the bath, and he just looked like a totally different dog. So much of it is fur, both the undercoat of fur and the long top coat of fur. Let's see if I have a picture of him where he's not filthy, but he's wet. Probably under bath time. There was a bath time one, but have we got a better one of him wet? I have got one somewhere of him as a puppy sopping wet, and he was tiny. You look at the Sammy when they're wet and it's scary. No, I've only got the filthy ones. But possibly that one. Let's drag that down there and get it up to... droplet. If you look around the face and the where the ears would be, only he's disgusted. You can see how much thinner they look. So they could well be very similar size. Just a little bit chunkier around the legs, I'd guess. Look at his face and look at the colour of the water. That was the second bath of the day. He'd escaped the first one and dived head first into the rose bushes. That's my dad. You can just see my dad's head there. I think somewhere I've got a picture of Dad actually holding him. Because when we went up to the coast when he was a puppy, we went for a walk. Mum used to love going up the main high street, and she would stop at all the coffee bars. So she had a whale of a time. And we took Maya, and it was his first real outing out. So he walked up the high street and then he walked halfway back. Yeah, that face was disgusted. I was disgusted from sale. Bless his little cotton socks. He did not enjoy a bath at all. Anyway, on the way back, he was about at this stage, he was past his jabs, so he was probably about 4.5 months. On the way back, he just sat down and he wouldn't move. So we figured he was exhausted. He'd never walked that far before. So Dad picked him up and carried him back. And I've got this picture of Dad holding him. And Dad's facing away from the sea. And Maya's got his head over his shoulder, looking longingly out to sea because we were at the coast. But we didn't let him dive into the sea until much later. He just barked at the water coming in over him. And he seriously believed if he barked at it, it would just pull back. And it didn't. And he never actually understood why. Hello, Lola. Hello. Can I say hello? No, you're not making a noise. But she's here. Look at the pretty doggy. Luke, doggy. Zippy's on the screen. Just fuss me, mother, and feed me. Fuss and feed me. Maya had lots of expressive faces, didn't he?
He did.
There's actually a picture on his website of his brother. And his brother just did not look like Maya. I mean, he probably would to you, but to us, around the eyes and stuff, there was just... Well, he was a bit of a sad dog because he'd been... Remember me telling you when we went to pick up Maya? There was a guy came from Northern Ireland and he was having the pick of the litter. And he was having the pick of the litter because he wanted to show the dog. And we weren't particularly showing Maya as a show dog. And he ended up picking this other dog because Maya was having none of it. He'd already picked us. So he picked this dog and disappeared with him. Another one, because there were three brothers. So Maya came to us. This one went over to Northern Ireland and another one went down to a place in England called Leicester. He lasted a week before the dog got sent back. with all the food that had been sent with him, so he hadn't been fed, and a message that said, well, can't keep him, the girlfriend doesn't like him. It's like, well, get rid of the girlfriend. But the other one that went to Northern Ireland, he came home after a year, about 9-10 months. And the guy said, like, he's not winning medals, so I'm sending him back. So actually, of the three brothers from Maya's litter, there was only Maya got a forever home. She had to rehome one of them, and she ended up keeping the one that came back after a year. Zippy looks a lot bigger. He does, he's got that, I think, then the paws as well. Big furry paws. Noodles. Noodles. Fantastic name. Loving these dog names. You're so inventive. I knew
we
it was...
had noodles for dinner.
We did have noodles for dinner, but not furry ones, Mike. Noodles.
What are you doing now? That. You're stuck behind the chair.
If you want to say stood behind the chair, look at that face.
Oh, Haworth. Bronte country.
Bronte country.
Bronte country.
That does very much look like Wuthering Heights, doesn't it? Absolutely amazing face. They do. They look gorgeous. So Deb says we had to put them down. No choice. No drugs or surgeries would help. We made the decision together. They were in so much pain. That's the thing. I think you have to. It's difficult for you, but if it's right for the dog, that doesn't make it any easier for you, though. It really doesn't. We had that with Maya when he was told, when we were told he was arthritic. But luckily, by then, this was the last vet. The last vet was amazing. And he said he can live quite happily for a couple of years. We'll manage the pain, and this is what you'll see. This is what to look out for. You'll just know. And I'm like, I won't know, I won't know. He said, you will know. You know, and he was amazing. Thankfully, it was worth putting up with all the other vets just to find that vet. He was very, very good. Tom, our vet. Top Withens near Haworth. Yeah, it does. I love that. I want to go up there, but obviously can't at the moment. Keep threatening to take Mike there. I've been threatening to take Mike there for the last 28 years. We keep saying, we'll stop in on our way when we're going to wherever. So we went to York. We went to Harrogate. And the reason that we've never done it is we wouldn't be able to get out of the car because all our tech's in it. See, we couldn't leave the tech in the car and wander around Haworth. Far too much tech to leave it there. So that's why we've never made it. We would need to make a special trip out. But we're not going to be doing that at the moment. We've moved from lockdown into shielding at the moment because there's far too many idiots out there. I'm not shielding from people with COVID. I'm shielding from idiots and I'm enjoying it. Apparently it was the inspiration for it. Yes, they lived in Haworth, didn't they? The Brontes, all four of them, because there was a brother as well, Bramwell. I've read all of their work, absolutely love it. The thing is, if they'd have made me read Wuthering Heights at school, I would not have enjoyed it. My mum always said that with George Eliot. She said she wouldn't touch a book by George Eliot because she'd had to do it at school. But I didn't do Wuthering Heights at school. I read it many, many years later. And I must admit, it was like a little bit of trepidation. It's like a school book. Are you going to enjoy it? Seriously, the first five pages, I was laughing so much I was crying. I just found it really funny at the beginning. They were talking about somebody coming in and it was all very prim and proper and, you know, they were dancing around each other. And they sat down and he thought it was a blanket and it turned out it was a dog. I just loved it. And then I made the mistake of watching the film. Yeah, it kind of stopped halfway. Where's the rest of it? And Mum swore me blind, you know, or when it finished, this happened. And I'm like, no, Mum, that was halfway through the book. And she said, no, that was the film and Laurence Olivier. And I said, yeah, but Mum, the book. She wouldn't have it until she watched a miniseries. Do you know who was in the miniseries?
No idea.
Who played Heathcliff?
No idea.
Ah, worth watching. Fine figure of a man.
George Clooney.
No, George Clooney couldn't be Heathcliff. Heathcliff's kind of raw and manly, more like Daniel Day-Lewis. Only it wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis. You know the guy. I could say two words to you, Mike, and you'd know exactly who I meant.
Pierce Brosnan.
No, it wasn't Pierce Brosnan. No. Somebody way less well known, but still, if I said two words, you'd know who I meant.
Go on then, say two words.
Murphy's Mob. Now he's forgotten his name.
Ken Hutchinson.
It's actually Hutchison, but yes. fine figure of a man with a fabulous Scotch accent.
He was also in The Manageress.
He was, he was. And he gave up acting, you know, and he's now a caretaker of a block of flats in London.
Oh.
Mm. He could have made it in Hollywood, you know, he was that good. Didn't have the temperament, apparently. Oh, dear. Mm. So Deb's saying, you've been around animals all your life, you knew it was time and it was merciful. And hubby stayed with them. My dad, you know this house that I talk about with the friends with the massive garden? They had three Sammies. We took Mayer to meet them. Oh, he had a ball. He had an absolute ball. But when it came towards the end for two of them...
There he is. That was him, wasn't it?
That was him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fine figure of man, like I'm saying. When it came time for the end for two of them, not at the same time, this was two separate occasions, she couldn't do it. And she asked Dad to take them to the vet. Well, obviously Dad could kind of do it, but he was a sensitive soul. And it really took it out of him doing that. One, he felt kind of responsible that they were with somebody they knew at the end, which they were. He stayed with them right till the end, held their paw as they went. But he said he found it incredibly difficult. And he'd worked on farms. When he was a lad, about 15, 16, he worked on farms. If you're eating, you might want to turn away now, basically. But he had been the runner on a farm. So it was way back in the day. But as they were castrating bullocks, he was the one who had to run in and get a hot poker to do it with. And he had seen that. So having seen that, I thought he would have no problem. But he came back home and it took him about a month to really get over it. And he was just looking at Mayer and stroking him and really badly affected by it. I guess we were lucky, really, weren't we, with Mayer, that we were just both there, just holding him. But yeah, it is a very, very difficult thing to do. No matter how much your head is telling you, it's the right thing to do. But then having said that, that was, I think now, my mum said, Mayer at this stage was about 13. And my mum was saying with my father, they wouldn't see an animal suffer like this. And then when Maya died and then Mum was left there, she was saying the same about herself, you know, that you wouldn't. And it, you know what the last 12 days were like. You wouldn't, would you? You would not keep an animal in that state.
No.
But it's still a hard thing to do. However much you know it's the right thing, it is still a hard thing to do. And then for weeks afterwards, I don't remember, about 5 weeks after Maya died, I have no recollection of it at all. My next recollection after the day he died is trying to place an order for an iPhone, but that was like 6 weeks later. And whenever I think back to what did you do in July and August 2014, I have no recollection at all. I've no idea. I know I was sat here at my computer. That's about all I know, because a couple of days after he died, I'm sitting at my computer and I could feel his fur on my arm. And I'm like rubbing at my arm thinking that that's Mayer, but obviously he died. But I remember that. And that's literally the sole memory for about 7 weeks, six, 7 weeks, something like that. It is very, very difficult. It takes a long time to get over it.
Ken Hutchinson wasn't in The Manageress.
Wasn't he?
No, it's Tom Georgeson I'm thinking of.
I would not mix the two up personally if I'd seen them, Mike, just saying. So Anthony says, me and my mother were both with Charlie and Kenny at the end. The vet said it really does help when you stay. I couldn't leave. I don't think in that circumstance I could leave. But it would be a difficult thing to do. And I think as well, for me, I'd never had a dog before. I'd had pets, but never a dog and never a pet that needed a vet. And I think with a dog or a cat, you're probably more inclined to go to a vet. And on the odd occasion, you know, like Mayer would have been like 5 or 6 or he would have done something stupid. And I was concerned, like, you know, what if something happened? Because I'd never had to face that before. And I don't think even if you have, it would make it any easier. Just it would run through your mind. You just have to kind of go with it. You do. And if that means that you're in a state, then you're in a state. But I think as a human, you would want someone. Isn't that what a lot of people are saying about the COVID situation? That people dying alone or with a nurse is not quite the same as having somebody there who really, really cares. And it's the same with an animal. They're part of your family. I mean, we say she's our daughter and Mayer was our son in exactly the same way Rachel is. we go around collecting, don't we?
Mm.
Not giving birth, but collecting. But wouldn't be without her, and certainly wouldn't have been without him. So Deb says he was affected as well. I saw my dad cry once when he had to put a cat down. They'd been severely injured and he'd been in action in World War II. Exactly, I think it just affects you on a different level, doesn't it? It really did bother him, and I'd never seen him bothered by anything like that. Nothing. His own health, even me and my mum, it didn't affect him in the way it did with that. But from what mum said, because he didn't mention anything to me, but from what mum said, he felt that the dog, although the dog knew him and the dog loved him, that he felt the dog felt that maybe some of its family should have been there. So I don't think it passed as peacefully as you would imagine. You would hope that an animal would pass, but my dad was there with her. But still, tough. And then when it happened for the second one, when she said, you know, it's time, can you take him to the vet? Dad wouldn't say no, because the alternative was she'd have just dropped it off and nobody would have been with the dog. And so he went and he did it again. And Mum was like, what did you do that for? You know, it affected you badly the first time. And he said, I couldn't leave the dog on its own. That was Dad. But then it affected him badly. And then we got the brunt of his temper, didn't we, for a couple of months. Typical Dad. But he did do the right thing. He did. So Anthony says, with Charlie the morning we'd taken the decision, we were going to the vet. He was fine. Now, isn't that just typical? Had a lung condition like asbestosis. Was getting more and more breathless. We had a moment with Maya where Mike was at work. I was at home, thankfully. And I was actually downstairs in the same room with my mum at the time. And Maya went to try and get up. And sometimes he couldn't get up on his own anymore. So I would lift him up. Mum couldn't pick him up. She wasn't strong enough. And this particular time, he tried to get up. And I'm saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he started kind of rolling. So I said, come on, it's all right. I'll pick you up. And I tried to pick him up. He got up on his feet and then he fell over again. And he had some kind of fit. He just started shaking. It was a horrible thing to watch. And obviously, you don't have time to do the Googles at that point. But he was shaking and he seemed scared. So I literally just went over and his arms and legs were moving. All of his legs were going. So I went over to him and I just put my arms around him and hugged him like crazy. But he was still kind of kicking out with his legs. And his eyes had gone and I thought, this is it. I didn't think he would die in my arms at that moment, but I thought, this is it. This is like a precursor to it. Today could be the day, basically. So once I'd calmed him down sufficiently, and he did then calm down, once I'd got my arms around him incredibly tightly, bit like one of those thunder jacket things, he did manage to calm down and he did come out of this. But straight away, I'm saying to Mum, just dial Mike on the phone. So I dialed Mike and I said, you need to come home now. No explanations or now. I don't care what you're doing now. And he came home and we'd like made the decision that we'd have to ring the vet and stuff. And when Mike came home, Maya's quite happily running around the garden and we're just looking at each other like, well, what do we do now? And I said, well, I've rung the vet. I said, I don't think he needs to go. And Mike said, I don't think he needs to go. So he rang the vet. He's all right now. Sorry about that. But it was, I mean, you never actually saw it, did you? It was not a pleasant thing to go through. But he was fine after that for a good 6 months. But you do have to keep your eye on and make a judgment, and that I think puts pressure on you as well. You're making a judgment for somebody else's life. But we made the right decision that day, didn't we?
We did.
Because I thought if we took him, then they might say it's time, and we knew it wasn't time. That as long as he could go out for a walk, we felt he was fine. And I thought, so to take him in for them to like have a look at him and then potentially tell you what it was, because it was definitely some kind of fit, he'd probably have another one because they'd want to put him on the scales and they'd want to do tests. They'd be taking him away from us. You know, we'll just take him in the back to do X, Y, and Z. And I thought, no, because what's the worst that could happen? He could die here tonight. Well, it's better than him dying there while they're trying to weigh him. Because we'd been, hadn't we, to have him weighed. Well, we didn't go to have him weighed. They wanted him weighed. Could we get him on the scales? He was having none of it. He was fighting it every step of the way. So we took that decision that, you know, if it is now, if it is tonight, then it's better that he's here with all his family. But it is, it's a very, very, very difficult thing to do. So I greatly admire animal parents, don't you? Because human parents just take them to the doctors and make let somebody else make the decision. But as animal parents, we don't. We don't. It, a lot of it's down to us, because a vet will say either it is or isn't time, but it's up to you. And it's a pressure. I used to do that, Kim. If Mayo was ever sick, oh, I couldn't function. Could not function. He actually, one thing he had, and it was intermittent. This was Mayo all over. I don't know if you remember, but it was 2005. It was the summer of 2005. So Mayo would have been just over four. And Mum and Dad had gone out. They went out every Thursday. So I'm up with Mayo. And he had a limp. He had developed a limp. And I remember the day, because I'd staggered out of bed at an alarmingly early time for me, about 7 o'clock. And I put the news on. So I'm watching the news, minding my own business, keeping my eye on wherever Mayo went, I went. And it was 7-7. It was the day of the London bombings. And this news is coming through on the TV, and I'm like mesmerised with it. Mayo was flat out asleep in front of the fire. And I remember watching this thing and keeping an eye on him. And he then wanted to go outside, so I had to lift him up. And he was hobbling along as though he'd broken a leg. And he hadn't. It was more as though he'd been in a draft or something. But he was hobbling that badly on this leg. We said, well, we'll make an appointment with the vet. But of course, all talk that day was about the London bombings. But we did eventually manage to get an appointment with the vet. So we takes him off to the vet. We gets out of the car and he hobbles painfully towards the vets. We get in there. Well, you stayed outside, didn't you? I goes in and I explains to the vet what's going on, and he's got this serious limp. So he said, well, let me see him move and see how he's doing. So we'll go outside and you just walk. The vets was in like a square of shops. So he said, just kind of trot him round and let me have a look. So we opens the door and Mayo sets foot outside. Mike's got the other end of the lead. Mayo takes off like a bullet out of a gun. He looked like he was like Linford Christie couldn't have caught him. And the vet stood there and looked at me as though, overprotective much. And he went, it's not affecting his movement at all, is it? And I'm looking at the dog thinking, you're dead when I get you home. It was like having a child that was showing you up. So I said, well, maybe you could get him in and just have a look at it anyway. He had not been able to walk for the best part of 3 days. He gets to the vets, makes me look like an idiot. Mike's on the other end of the lead, needing oxygen. He did give him some painkillers, didn't he? But basically he didn't need anything. What that was, I've no idea. I think it was just Mayor's mind playing tricks, trying to make me look at a buffoon. The thing is, the next time you take the dog and there is something wrong with him, they don't believe you. But honestly, he'd been hobbling like crazy. You'd had to carry him everywhere. But not when the vet was there. When the vet was there, got his second wind. This is why I don't like going to a vet. I know the dog's going to make me look stupid. And Mayo did that day, didn't he, Mike?
He did.
He did. And so that was the vet that always used to miss Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Always in his favour, I might add. But basically, you had to check the bill. And the other thing he'd done was he'd given him double the dosage or something. So the dosage wasn't right on the bottle either. So good job I'd got medical training sufficient to know what was an overdose, isn't it? Because if I'd have given him what he said on the bottle, he had to reprint the bottle after that. That was when we left that vet's. Yes, another one. Never too many. You don't think you can ever have too many vets, can you, Mo?
No.
No, I think we had 13 vets. But the one we ended up with was fine. So that's good. That's good. Right, okay then. So that's Wednesday dealt with, isn't it?
It is.
You know what Thursday is, don't you? Day before Friday. So you get to put in tomorrow your request for Friday if I've got any slots free. Are you sharing what you're doing, or is it a surprise?
I shared it yesterday. Or the day before.
Share it again.
Power pivot.
Oh, I thought it was power BI.
No, it's power pivot.
Sorry, not paying enough attention. Shall severely reprimand myself there, Mike. What had I decided? Had I got anything I could share? I don't think so. I'd sort of half decided. I'll know by tomorrow. There you go. Can't say further than that. I will know by tomorrow. But if you've got any suggestions, let me know. I'll put that in the mail for tomorrow. And we will see you same time, same place then. Probably with more news from Boris, I would have thought. Mind you, he's done his press conference now. We probably won't see Boris for the best part of another week. He seems to be on some kind of let's work one day a week. Mind you, while he's working one day a week, he's only causing 20% of the hassle he'd be doing if he was working 5 days a week. Just saying. Right, okay then. So it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.